Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:12 Pacific Summertime, and today, being Friday, it's the big picture long-term audio for the various different asset classes, and today is May 2nd. Well, if we look at what's been happening in here this week, then we've had a pretty mixed performance. And there's been quite a lot of economic data coming out. Well, I guess the first thing was that the U.S. economy didn't really grow in the first quarter, and at least part of that was due to the fact that you had such inclement weather conditions. But the unemployment rate has improved, but people are also looking on that and saying, well, that's because workforce participation is so low. I think there was a figure today that it was at a 36-year low. Well, what people are also starting to look at is the fact that consumer spending is improving. So there's a lot of mixed signals out there. So when we start to think about, well, exactly where are we? Well, what's the Fed looking at? Well, certainly they'll be looking at the GDP figures and probably saying that the first quarter was an anomaly. That, well, workforce participation isn't, there isn't much that they can do about that, but they are trying to create the conditions for more hiring. Well, if you've got more hiring and wages start to improve, well, that would encourage more people back into the workforce. Well, that's all pretty much in line with the expectation that the U.S. economy is on a growth trajectory, that while most people have been pretty disappointed with the pace of the growth over the last couple of years, but that it is growing, and certainly growing faster than Europe. So that supports the Fed's tapering. Well, there's still a raging argument going on in the bond markets, so it is probably worth talking about the bond markets before we talk about anything else. Well, there are four different bond market futures, and when you look at the yield curve, before I started the audio, I was looking at an historic yield curve. Well, we've written quite a lot about bonds this week, but the shape of the yield curve isn't really materially different now than it was at any time in the last 3 years. Certainly yields have gone up and down a lot, but the shape of the curve is still pretty steep, that we're still in an extraordinarily accommodative monetary environment, and that even though the potential is very much in favor of the conclusion that we're going to see a flattening in the yield curve, in other words, that the short end of the curve yields are going to rise faster than the long end, we're still a long way from tight monetary conditions. Well, when you look at the bond futures, well, the 30-year future price was up there at 135 yesterday and was a bit weaker in here today. But it in the early part of the day, and then recouped its entire decline and finished up around 136. Well, that's breaking out. But when you start to go down and look at, for example, the 10-year, well, then it was totally unchanged on the day. And it doesn't have nearly as bullish a pattern. Well, you go down and you look at the 5-year, well, then you might as well be looking at a different instrument, that the likelihood of prices moving up in a meaningful way look pretty unlikely. And then when you look at the 2-year, well, the chances of a meaningful move in prices to the upside is it really does look very unlikely. Well, you start stringing all of that together, then the conclusion is that we're going to see a flattening of the yield curve, and that we are seeing that 30-year yields are coming down a bit in here, and at least part of the reason for that is that people are looking on it as a potential safe haven. Well, this year, what we've seen is that really when you start to look at what's been happening in terms of stock markets, then we had very, very strong performances last year. And when we look at what's been happening in the stock market in here this year, then largely speaking, the main market has been confined to arranging consolidation, but that you've had very strong performances by new tech and biotech, and those have been unwound. To a large extent, those types of shares have come right back to test the region of their 200-day moving averages, and most of them have found support. That's certainly the case with biotech. It's and if you look at new tech, and for example, Facebook, well, then it had this a very sharp pullback, but has at least found support here, and that support is coming in at a progressively higher level and in the region of the 200-day moving average. Well, there's an awful lot of speculation about exactly what is going to happen with the Ukraine. And, well, we might not like the conclusion. Generally speaking, if you had to have a wish list, you really would hope that Russia isn't going to invade. But when you think about it from a Russian perspective, then short-term gain could potentially be short-term pain could be long-term gain. And so far, the USA and Europe have been playing with kid gloves, and they really haven't imposed any kind of meaningful sanctions. You had Olly Rehn, who is the business affairs European Commissioner. He's from Finland, saying today that, well, Europeans really would prefer not to impose sanctions, and really hoping that Europe wouldn't, or that Russia wouldn't force them into doing something. Well, it really does go to show that the Europeans just don't want to have this problem. They would really much prefer not to have to deal with it. There isn't the kind of aggression there that one might have had in the 1980s. So, really, it is very much in Russia's court. Well, that's an uncertainty. Well, it's helping. Well, oil prices were weak yesterday. They were a little bit steadier in here today. But gold prices were up by $14 in here today. Silver, having been as low as $19 yesterday, is at $19.50 in here today. Well, the industrial metals, which had generally been pretty strong for much of April, had been pulling back for much of the last week, but they firmed in here today. So copper was up by $4.40 on that COMEX contract. And, well, we've had a general pattern of strengthening in those industrial resources. Well, those are pretty short term. When we start to look at the longer term, well, the bond markets have had a 30-year bull, and that bull was extended by quantitative easing, where the Fed became the marginal buyer within the market and really prompted a massive momentum-led move. Well, the fact that the Fed is now buying less bonds, the fact that the U.S. government's deficit is contracting, so they're issuing less bonds, is resulting in the momentum move in treasuries having been moderated. So in the short term, there is some potential for bonds on the long end of the curve to do a bit better here. But the short end of the curve, it doesn't look like they're going to do much better. That's starting to reflect that yields are going to start to move higher at some point in the next couple of years. And, well, that's going to represent really quite a sea change. And it suggests that, well, in a bull market, the most profitable strategy is a buy low, sell high strategy. But in a bear market, it's in a bull market, it's buy the dips, and in a bear market, it's sell the rallies. Well, we're looking like we're going to get a rally in the long end of the curve, and that does look like it's going to offer a selling opportunity. So there's momentum in the short term that could drive it a little bit higher on these political uncertainties, but that, realistically speaking, the need to hold those long-dated bonds when yields are at this level, it's not particularly compelling. Well, that's going to when we start to see the interest rate cycle changing, the availability of credit for corporations is going to change. Well, one of the things that's happened, it isn't a chart that we've posted this week, but you can find it in the chart library if you simply type in BBB. It's the US dollar composite for corporate bonds. Well, yields there have contracted pretty impressively over the last 3 weeks. And we're really approaching the spreads over treasuries that are pretty comparable to those that we saw in 2007. There's been really quite an impressive move into trying to capture yield. And certainly the the bonds have probably offered a little, been a bit more attractive than the stock market this year. Well, that at least partially helps to explain the move into the bond markets. But, well, these are getting pretty pricey. Now, just to to make the point about just how pricey bonds have become. Well, I was looking at some emerging market bonds before I recorded the audio. Well, the Rwanda 8-year is trading at 150 basis points over treasuries. Well, that's a pretty tight spread for a BB minus bond. And, we can certainly conclude that the political situation and the economic governance in Africa is improving, but should Rwanda be trading at 150 basis points over treasuries? Well, I'm loath to think that that's a reasonable pricing. It sounds to me to be pretty expensive. It does suggest that we've had a narrowing of spreads and mispricing of the risk premia in the corporate bond markets, and this isn't going to last forever. That we're seeing some momentum in here, but that momentum is the acceleration of a pretty mature trend that's been in evidence here for a while, and that isn't going to persist beyond the short to near term. Well, in stock markets, the outperformance of the Dow relative to the Russell 2000 is worthy of mention. Well, the Dow Jones hit a new all-time high this week. It's still around 16,500. It was down just a bit more than 0.25% in here today. Well, small caps are generally the types of instruments that do best in a low interest rate environment. If you have a small company and you need to borrow money in order to expand it, well, the best time to do that is when interest rates are low and liquidity is abundant. That's certainly been the case in the last 4 years, and the mid-caps in the UK and the Russell 2000 took off like rockets. But, well, they're back now at the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is where they're going to have to find support if the trends are going to remain consistent, so that really is worth watching in here. Well, failures at this level are going to represent a sector which did best from quantitative easing, moving to a position of underperformance, and that's worthy of mention. A mantra at this service over the last 30 years has been that leaders lead in both directions and leaders lead for a reason. Well, we know what the reason was, but they lead in both directions. When you start to see something that has been massively outperforming moving to a position of underperformance, well, then that sets off alarm bells. Well, the stock market is a discounting mechanism, and small caps and growth-oriented shares, they discount good news or bad news in the future. Well, rising interest rates are stricter borrowing conditions aren't particularly good for their medium-term future, so that will begin to be reflected in the latter stages of a cyclical bull market first. But cyclical shares generally reflect good news right now, and we are seeing cyclical shares moving to positions of outperformance. Well, you've seen that oil shares in particular have responded to the risk that's represented by the Ukraine situation, and they're back up to test their respective highs. And European oil shares, having been they've got pretty attractive PEs and very competitive yields, well, they were trading at a discount relative to their US peers, and that discount does look like it is going to be closed. And we've seen that Statoil and Totalfina have broken out in the last couple of months, but Royal Dutch Shell, which is a major oil producer but really is a majority gas producer, BP up at the upper side of its range, well, Eni in Italy, very similar pattern, and the Canadian Oil Sands Trust has just broken out of its base as well. So these sectors that were very much on the sidelines, well, something that I was looking at, I'll probably write about on Tuesday, is that Well, if you look at the oil price, it has been largely range-bound for the last couple of years at pretty high prices. Well, copper has a very similar, very similar chart pattern, and the downside break below $3 has failed. So it does look increasingly likely we're going to see an additional rally in copper prices. Well, copper miners don't look anything like some of those major, major oil producers. Well, part of the reason for that is because they were massive overspenders and they don't have the dividend yields that have been such a support for the oil markets. But by and large, those types of shares have been pretty range-bound for the last couple of years. Well, BHP Billiton is the is sort of the bridge between both, because it's in obviously one of the largest industrial metal miners, but also it's a significant energy producer. And that share yields about 4% and is trading at the upper side of a 3-year range. Well, a number of copper miners are in a similar position, and a number of steel producers. Well, Nucor Energy in the US is has been installing more efficient steel mills, and it's trading, it's broken out of its 3-year base and has been pretty range bound for the last while, but it does look like it's going higher. Well, when you start to see these cyclical old world basic resource type companies moving to positions of outperformance, well, that's generally also a late in the stage development, and that is exactly what we're seeing right now. Well, in terms of the medium term, it suggests that we're moving into a more difficult environment, that this rangy environment for stock markets could persist for a while. When we start to think about the longer term, well, then the S&P is broken up out of a 13-year range. Well, we had a very impressive advance last year. We're in a rangy environment now. Well, it isn't that difficult then to conclude that we're into a first step above the base, that the conclusion is that once this first step above the base has been concluded, that we'll move into a new bull market. Well, what's that bull? You don't get major bull markets without fundamental reasons. Well, some of the fundamental reasons are that we're getting unconventional oil and gas moderating the bullish influence in the energy markets, so that energy prices have been stable and are likely to trend somewhat lower in real terms. Well, technological innovation is in a golden age, and that technological innovation is increasingly being applied to renewable energy, in particular solar. Well, solar efficiencies are up to about 44%, and the cost of producing that 44% is trending lower. Well, I think it's important to draw the distinction between the types of solar panels that are being installed today and those that are likely to be installed within the next 10 years. The efficiency differences are going to be an order of magnitude better with the new types of technology that are being developed. So that that sector could really have a very meaningful effect in terms of how people generate electricity and how the sector really works. Well, that could really enhance productivity growth. Well, when we think about energy, well, that's obviously a huge component in productivity growth. Well, improving governance all over the world is enhancing the productivity of hundreds of millions of people. And, well, we're going to have about 2 billion people entering the global middle class in the next 20 years. Well, as people move from the farm to the city, as people move from the agrarian to the manufacturing to the services sectors, the productivity goes up. And, well, that represents a significant bull story and helps to foster demand for just about everything. Well, are the types of companies that we consider autonomies are the companies that are leveraged to these major themes, that they're going to be the big companies that do best from the rise of the global middle class. They're going to be the companies that benefit most from employing technology, and they'll be among the companies that do best from lower energy prices on average. Well, the confluence of those three major themes has the capacity to drive a major bull market. Well, if we're correct in that assumption, then interest rates will normalize gradually over time. And the amount of money that's sitting in bonds represents a wall of potential capital that could help fuel a major bull market in equities. And we're really only at the very beginning of that. And one could argue that it hasn't really even started yet. Well, if that's the case, then we're going to need a lot more of just about everything. And, well, industrial metals are pretty low right now, and they are on a recovery trajectory. So that is really worthy of mention. And I think with that, I guess we should talk about the currency outlook. Well, the US dollar is pretty low right now. And when one looks at it relative to some of the other developed or the major economies on the dollar index, well, then it's about as low as it has been in the last couple of years, and over the last 5 years it's in about the middle of its base. Well, it's the index declined from 120 to 70 over the last 10 years, and it's currently around 79. Well, the US economy has benefited from this weak currency. It's probably not strong enough just yet to drive the currency very much higher. But if we start to think about the longer term, well, then it's reasonable to expect that the dollar would improve. So if we get major declines in the dollar, can be regarded as buying opportunities in future, that the chances are that we're going to see a stronger dollar on average over the next 20 years, although we're going to see some volatility perhaps in the short to medium term. And I think with that, I will leave you for the afternoon and wish all the best to all of you.